On this episode, I'm in conversation with Alex Barker from Be More Pirate. Hi folks, welcome to the QI Guy in Conversation with podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jonathan O'Reilly. Thank you for joining me for episode 4 of our second season batch of episodes. And I'm really excited about today's guest, and we're continuing that theme of perhaps exploring elements of change and some of the elements that we kind of grapple with within healthcare with someone from out with healthcare. So today I'm in conversation with Alex Barker, who leads the Be More Pirate community, which some of you may or may not be familiar with. You may have come across Sam Conniff's book, Be More Pirate, or you may have read the follow-up that Alex authored, How to Be More Pirate, which kind of took Sam's, you know, nice analogy of, 1700s pirates, and kind of putting yourself into that pirate mindset and actually made it actionable and was telling stories, sharing stories from a community. Alex is great, as you will hear, and the Be More Pirate is community, I think, is really great. Something I've been quite passionate about over the last year, having read the book and given it to various people to read and signposted folk and join meetups and all of that kind of stuff. The links to everything, as normal, are going to be in the show notes, so anything that Alex references at the end is going to be in there. And they have a fantastic podcast, which I think is also perhaps in its second season as well, which is well worth listening to, where they connect with other pirates, if you like, people who are kind of try to change things within their context. And there's a couple of episodes, I think one in the first season, one in the second season, about healthcare piracy, and certainly the one in the first season covers Hexytime, which is something that listeners to this podcast will be familiar with, because we also had an episode on Hexytime and a user's experience, Mushtag's experience in season one. So go back and listen to that and listen to the Be More Pirate episode, and now you can listen to my conversation with Alex. So thank you for coming on to the podcast today, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah.
This is a real privilege to have you on. I read your book last year. I think it was only published, How to Be More Pirate, in 2021. And instantly it just kind of resonated with me. And as you know as well, I've kind of come on some of the meetups that you hosted last year, which were really interesting as well. So listen, before we jump into the whole Be More Pirate thing, because I really want to discuss that, tell us a bit about your background, because you're obviously not an NHS person, who I speak to most in this podcast. What's your kind of relationship like with change and improvement? What did you do before you kind of came this whole Be More Pirate thing?
Yeah. So my relationship to the world of change, trying to change things, comes more from a charity perspective, I suppose. I went into the charity sector when I was about 20, and I and that came from various personal and academic experiences about trying to understand systems and how they're formed and how they shape the world and why we sort of ended up with, you know, the way things are. And my background is international relations, so I looked at things from a really global perspective, like how did we end up with the UN and the World Bank, and does any of this actually make sense? So I kind of then zoomed in and was like, okay, I would like to make a difference, try and improve things. My first job was actually social care. So I do have a bit of an understanding of some aspects of healthcare. I was very much helping frontline support workers to support people with mental health problems and learning difficulties. But I was, you know, dealing with all the admin and the all that. So that, and then that was a very baptism of fire experience, I should say. So then I went into predominantly working for a think tank, a place called the RSA, which is long title, the Royal Society for the Encouragement of the Arts, Manufactures and Commerce. That was almost as difficult to explain to people when I started as it is to explain to them that my now job is a pirate. So I just, and that the purpose of the RSA is to do undertakings for the public good. That was the mission statement that was devised in 1754 when it started, and it's still there today. However, things have changed, and I began to realise that it was the institutionalised thinking that was really the problem. And I think, although I'm not, you know, I don't work in the NHS, institutionalised thinking is something that occurs across the board, whether you're in the civil service, whether you're in organisations like think tanks, a lot of the corporate world and big public sector bodies like councils and the NHS. It's the, you know, very sort of quite a rigid way of doing things often that is, I think, partly due to historical legacies around how we built organizations that are based on ideologies that began in the 1700s around the Industrial Revolution and kind of economic theories around rational man. And a lot of that I believe now to be not correct. So we've just inherited a lot of thinking. So that in a nutshell is how I kind of came to be more pirate and wanting to try a more radical route to change. It was due to working in lots of organizations that I felt were becoming too static and were unfortunately just operating on inherited rules, norms, processes, systems. So I think it's something that, you know, even if you're in a particularly niche sector, these are very, very common problems. And having worked now with lots of different kinds of organisations, it is very, the problems tend to be the same across the board.
Yeah, and you know, having kind of, I think I actually read How to Be More Pirate first before I'd read Be More Pirate, you know, so it was the kind of watch the sequel and then go back, and because that it just popped up in my kind of recommendations, you might like to read this, and I thought I will, and reading it I went back. But that was one of the main things that kind of did jump out at me, was the kind of institutionalized, you know, you do things just because, and that's why some things, you know, when you work in change and improvement within one of these institutions, that's why sometimes things can feel difficult, because you're not just battling against the system at that point in time, but you're almost battling against the history of the system as well, which you're not always aware of. So there'll be people listening to this who are thinking, what is this Be More Pirate stuff? They're talking about pirates, and we're not sitting here with, well, I have a bit of a beard and long hair, but we're not sitting here looking like pirates. So I mean, what is Be More Pirate? How did you find it? How did you find Sam and become involved?
Yeah, can I just add one more thing to what you just said, though, that when we talk about change, there's change, and then there's change, because there's a whole industry around change, right? That, you know, when you've got people with it in their job titles. And I'm not to say that there isn't real change that goes on within that, but it's just recognizing that it's become a whole industry. And then within that, and this will speak to the pirate story, because it's the idea that, you know, real kind of change happens on the fringes, usually it's the outsiders, and then those ideas become normalized, they become mainstream and subsumed into what we now then consider to be normal, and then the process has to repeat again. And to an extent, what Sam has always said to me is, the idea isn't to be a pirate forever. You do piracy for a moment in time in order to imagine and create something better, and then allow that to become the normal. And then it has to happen again, because that's how you keep on leveling up. But anyway, that was just an addition. But to the
Yeah, I think no, I think you're absolutely right, and I think you know the history of medicine is littered with pirates, you know, and some of the advances that we have around some of the infection prevention control measures we've all got really familiar with over the last couple of years. The people that started those were outcasts, pirates. But anyway, aside, back to you, Alex.
Yeah, we can come back to that idea of change. I think it's in the forefront of my mind because I've just read a book about it. So I'll come back to that. But so basically, I came to SAM at a point when I was very disillusioned with perhaps the industry around change. I felt that there was a real cognitive dissonance between understanding intellectually what could be better, whether that was just, diversity, we need a more diverse workforce, and then the ability to really implement it. And so I'd also really burnt myself out, which is a sort of another story around my own inherited norms and limitations around how I thought I should behave and what it meant to be valuable. And so I worked myself into the ground. I decided to take a sabbatical because I'd after 5 years in my previous job, I could. And so I went off and tried to take a rest and think about how I could reorientate my life a little bit. And then I came across Be More Pirate, the book. I had seen Sam speak because he came to speak at my old work, but I really didn't pay any attention to it, partly because I was so, said frustrated with people who, written a book and made a promise about how to change the world. I just had grown tired of hearing more books being put out and nothing changing. So I came to it with a sense of, is this just a good marketing ploy? Will it result in anything meaningful? But at the same time, I was drawn to it because I thought I need to feel more empowered and more powerful than I do. How have I, someone I considered to, I considered myself to be confident and smart and aware, and I'd lost all my agency and power at that point. And just knew I had to really radically change something. And I think that was what most people found in the book, that it gave them some sense of that power back. So I went back and I read it properly. And the book itself tells the history of the golden age of piracy, which began in 1700, a moment in time when piracy really became true piracy, i.e., it wasn't just privateers who were out plundering the world, but sending all the profits back to the crown. Because there was a period of piracy under sort of Francis Drake's era where they sent it all back to Queen Elizabeth. She pretended there was no piracy, but there was. they robbed all the, the Spanish of all their gold. But then there was a moment where pirates decided that actually, why were they doing the bidding of the crown? Because they were suffering. Ordinary people were suffering under this exploitation. Being a sailor in the Navy was horrible. The conditions were awful. And they would quite often go on voyages for months on end and come back and get paid absolutely nothing, or they just simply die. And so they thought, well, we can probably do this better on our own. A bit like a lot of entrepreneurs who go out and think, I'm fed up of the organization. So, they go off and they created these new crews, and that gave them a blank slate. And then all the rules changed from there. So pirates, that's where pirates created real democracy, gave everyone an equal say. They gave fair and equal pay to everybody. They created social insurance so that people were protected if they got injured in a battle. They had same-sex marriage. They were really progressive because there was no need to follow any of the inherited norms. And I guess when you're out at sea traveling the world with this group of strangers, you can imagine suddenly everything's on the table. And that's a mindset I suppose I try and get people into. Imagine if it was all on the table. Imagine if we could really remake this anew, that you could really do things differently. And it's hard to get into that mindset, but that's what the pirates did, and they created their pirate code, which enshrined all of those ideas and held each other. And critically, a really important thing I say about what it means to be more pirate is, first of all, well, it's the difference between a pirate and a rebel, really. Yeah, so I just say that there's a clear difference between a pirate and a rebel. Pirate exists within the collective, the crew, and would, you're allowed to have clear leadership roles. You had the captain, you had the quartermaster. They were very much accountable to the crew, though, so there was never a chance for tyranny or to dominate. So yeah, you could fulfill your individual potential, but not so much that it created unequal power dynamics. And I think that was, that's a really important distinguisher. I think rebels are somewhat more lone rangers who just dislike authority, and pirates were about breaking rules with purpose and ultimately creating better rules in their place. So I came to Sam with, at that point, with liking the story, but skepticism about what we were going to do with it, because, you know, there was a sense of, I worked in a space where I'd been helping to build communities and create networks out of social entrepreneurs. And sometimes it felt like it was a vanity project to create more followers and a big network and kind of project this idea of purpose and impact, when actually behind it, there wasn't the real value in a network, which is connection, solidarity, and that sense of power that I was lacking. I wanted, if I was going to be in a network, I wanted it to be a network that gave me that where it really felt supportive. And so I went to Sam and just said, what are we doing here? Like, what does this look like? And actually, he was so honest and so open about what he didn't know that it really allowed me to trust him and think about and come on board and believe that this could be a really good alternative to some of the other networks I'd been involved with, which didn't feel authentic. So yeah, then we began a kind of journey, and it was very much without a plan.
As often the kind of the best adventures actually start when you don't really have much of an idea of where you're going to go, or what your exact destination is going to be. You just know you want to go somewhere. I think that's what kind of really jumped out at me, particularly reading the book you kind of co-authored with Sam, How to Be More Pirate. Was the first book felt like just another kind of a clever analogy, a way to, you know, here's another mindset you can put yourself in, because there's a lot of stuff in it that when I kind of, you know, brushed away the pirate type stuff, I thought, okay, so you need to have a code, you need to have values, you need to have some kind of roadmap, okay, that's we know, I know that you need to have a crew, you need to have friends, you can't do this yourself, which is really interesting, because I think in healthcare, particularly over the last 10-15 years, the word rebel has been used a lot to talk about people that are kind of, you know, and change and improvement and more disruptive, you know, kind of roles. So that idea that you have to do it together, starting small, you know, the change maybe happening at the edge of the system, the edges of the system. You know, there was all this kind of stuff that seemed like, okay, this, like, you know, is this any different? Is it just a nice story? But your book, How to Be More Pirate, kind of translated that into some action. And what was really interesting when you're reading the book is that one of the first areas that you kind of describe as having real traction with this kind of, you know, Be More Pirate was the NHS, was healthcare. And that actually surprised you, because, you know, certainly Sam, it says in the book that, you know, that's not necessarily who he wrote it for. He wrote it for those millennials, those entrepreneurs, those guys that are going to get up and change the world. And here you have a group of folk that are being part of a kind of 70-year plus institution that, you know, lots of questions about what, you know, needs to change, needs to be different, and all that kind of stuff. And you can make your own conclusions whether that happens or not. But actually, that's where you were seeing some traction. I mean, did that surprise you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, did it? Probably not as much as Sam, because obviously he wrote the book, and yeah, he based it on the young people that he already saw as pirates, and that was a really big distinguisher. And I think the way that I explain it is that it's not called Be a Pirate, it's called Be More Pirate. So it's really about the people who need to move down the spectrum. And what I remember when we were promoting the second book, one of the guys who did the social media said to me, so can you just give me, like, who's your demographic who need to buy this? And I think I was on a slightly grumpy day. I said, the sleeping middle classes, which, you know, I mean, is the people who do have power and agency, really, because they're in, you know, reasonably senior positions. They've got a lot of experience. They're well connected. They're not going to, there's risk that they can take there. There's some scope. But we become very easily locked into, I can't possibly do this, or it's going to affect this. And it was those people I wanted to just unlock a different perspective in. Because I think that it's, alongside it being a little bit scary at times to do a more pyro action, it does make you feel better as well, depending on how you position it. Mm. So when I looked at it, it didn't surprise me, because that's who I was. I was someone who had come from an organization that I felt really frustrated. I knew I wanted to do something, and I needed a vehicle through which to do it and to think about it. And so, yeah, you know, the analogy in the book is that the NHS can be a little bit like the Navy, in that it's bureaucratic and it's has a lot of hierarchy. Not that it's, violent or anything, although, some people would say that there are, there is risk when you stay, when you don't change. I think we can be very afraid of making rapid change, but there's also risk with stasis.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting because obviously the recent pandemic has kind of forced that rapid change and perhaps that element of pirate mindset and piracy in terms of meeting the challenge. And we've seen literally life-saving changes to how we deliver care and infrastructure around an NHS throughout the UK over the last couple of years. So it's really interesting because you think, are we always going to need something like a global pandemic or such a violent shock to kind of get people into that mindset? Because actually what we saw coming out of that was that we were capable and we were able to, jerry-rig equipment into, ventilators for ICUs, adopt digital when we had been perhaps kind of keeping it arm's length for years, and all of a sudden we're offering appointments in people's homes and all this kind of stuff to save folk having to travel. Perhaps it is that point of, it's a spectrum. It's not about become a pirate, but it's actually, is there, again, back to that kind of those small bold actions that you can take to become more pirate, and that has an effect.
I think that's a mistake. It's sometimes people look at it and think you have to go full-on rebellion in order to be properly pirate, but you don't. It's be more, because if we all were a bit more, we would have a completely different system. And it's interesting, I think often and regularly about what it is that seems to allow this particular framework to enable the small bold actions. And partly it is the narrative element. That was I underestimated that having a story, because we actually respond far, humanity responds to stories, not to information, when it comes to change. And we obviously can see that through the power of religion, and see that not taking place through, I think, some of the inaction on climate change, which is predominantly factual information. And so that was a really, really big thing about it. And I think, what I noticed in the stories was also, like you say, that these, when you have big seismic shifts, so a lot of the stories in How to Be More Pirate are people who had faced a moment of supposed crisis of some kind pre-COVID, when we were all thrown into that boat, and it galvanized, a complete change in direction. It was the moment, the no one is coming to save you moment, when you realize that some stability has crumbled and it's going to be up to you to do something, or to make, to keep yourself afloat. But it doesn't have to be that way. And there are lots, continually learning, there are lots of different levers that help people to get that mindset shift. Because, be more prioritized and mindset, to sum it up, is really your ability to see beyond the veil, to see that, as Sam puts it, the way things are is not the way they have to be, that everything is to a degree made up by humans, and we are in control of the constructs that we create all the time. So really stepping back and recognizing, you know, is this in something I've just accepted as a given, or is there something better that we ought to be thinking about? And never letting your imagination kind of shrivel up in that respect.
And you know that kind of jump from mindset, because I think it absolutely is a mindset, but that kind of jump to action, and just when you're talking there about, you know, you know, we create the rules, so why can't we kind of break them and rewrite them? And you talk about doing that within your workshops, that you would you know, get groups of guys together and say, you know, what's that one rule or that one process that you would want to change? And you know, there's lots of stories in the book around how that happens. And that's very much, you know, sometimes the case within healthcare, that we do something because that's just how it's always been done. Mm-hmm. Even though it doesn't necessarily add any value to the outcome for the patient, or it doesn't actually add any value to the, you know, the healthcare staff when they're kind of trying to diagnose a patient or understand what they're going to do next. It's just, this person's admitted and we think they've got this thing, so we're going to do these tests and you know, these five tests, but we'll only ever look at these two because you know, the other three. So that idea of kind of, you know, well, actually, could we not rewrite that rule? Do we not need to do all of that? That really jumped out to me, and I think that's where it felt different to me, and where it resonated to me, particularly within how to be more pirate, because there was action, there was actual tangible evidence of how this was being done and changing things on the ground. And you know, for anybody listening, there is examples within healthcare. I think it was Greater Manchester. I've got stories. There's also things in there around McMillan, which again might feel very, very relevant to our healthcare colleagues as well. So, you know, this isn't all been done in industries or areas that don't necessarily feel relevant to healthcare. So I think it's really powerful, I suppose. That's, you know, it's, I try not to be, but sometimes after, you know, you read a book or you do something, it's a phrase that someone once said in a meeting, I'm trying not to be the soggy dog, where I, you know, I just come in all wet and shake all over everybody. And I think that's how I was after I read this book and started exploring the website and coming to the meetups. It was like, right, you know, stop what you're doing. Are you a pirate? Could you be a pirate? Would you like to be a pirate? You know, come and join my crew. And I think in the midst of, you know, working from home and all the kind of negative stuff that perhaps we've heard over the last couple of years, it really was kind of energizing, and kind of got me out of a bit of a funk, which seems to be how a lot of people maybe come to this, where they kind of think, not quite sure what I'm doing or how impactful it is, and this story, because that's really, really key. This narrative, I think, is just so powerful and helpful.
That's definitely the case. And I noticed that people are on different points of the spectrum, I would say, of piracy, the spectrum of piracy, in that you can come to the book, you can understand it, internalize it, find a very deep emotional connection with it, but it can take still a long time for to the point where you really feel able to do something or land upon the thing that you want to do. Some people kind of dive into it straight away. So it feels very important to me that we kind of keep going and keep, you know, finding inspiration and ways in which people can stay connected and kind of become involved and keep giving examples. And I'm actually going to speak on a Macmillan panel after this. We're going to do some, I'm doing some more work with them. There's keen pirates in there. They fully understand some of the challenges around being an organization and hierarchies and silos, and how can they break that down and create a different version of leadership. There's some really brilliant pirates in there. I mean, I can share the example from the book if it
feels helpful.
Because I really do like the story. I use it often and I actually explain it now slightly differently to how I do in the book, just because that's the nature of writing books. you update your ideas, and then suddenly they not that they're not relevant, but they become, your ideas evolve. So the Macmillan story, it comes off the back of a piece of work they did in 2017, trying to understand healthcare inequalities across London regarding experiences of cancer. So they'd created this incredible community. It was really diverse. They'd worked a lot with the Chinese community in London, and the engagement team, done a really great job. They'd gathered a lot of research, and they wanted to do some work on sort of rewriting their rules. And that's how I got involved, and we did a big conference. But just before that, a young woman from the community, a young artist called Sarah, came forward and said, there was one topic that she really struggled to find any information on in response to her recovery from cancer. She'd had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she said, I can't find any information about sex, but not just around fertility. There's plenty about that, but just, sex for pleasure. And I'm 28 and I intend to live a long life, and I want to know, but my body's different. She's like, my body is different after cancer. For people who've experienced cancer, your body gets dismantled. And then, so she said, the nurses cannot give me any information. They don't even know where to signpost me for this.
Yeah.
And that felt like a real gap in their understanding. So the cancer, the engagement team decided to first run a survey with the rest of the community to find out if anyone else felt the same. Turns out they did, particularly women. And the next step was to hold a sex and cancer workshop to explore the issue. And they did it in partnership with a sex shop in East London, quite a sort of feminist, progressive one. And they held it inside the store. And apparently, I wasn't there, but I wish I had been. It was a really, really incredible, moving evening where they could share stories of how it affected their relationships with their bodies. All of that, like that, expressing yourself around a taboo issue is such an important part of healing. Mm-hmm. So I think what was important, but how this relates to a pirate idea and why they felt, it was quite a pirate thing to do, was this idea of going to the edges of your map, that change begins at the edges. First of all, there was, the woman who came forward was somebody who was at the edges of the community. She was a young person, and most people who in the community were older, because that tends to be the demographic that becomes unwell with cancer. So she was at the edges. They took it into an environment that was out of the norm. So the really being in a non-clinical environment was so important to people's ability to open up, because often you find in clinical settings it's harder to, there can be a degree of very much patient-doctor dynamic. And as I'm sure everyone listening to this is aware of. And then they were also talking about a very off the edges of the map topic for them, sex. It is still a taboo. It was particularly taboo for people in the community who were more conservative or came from conservative communities. It was like at the edges in all respects. But going to the edges, you open up opportunities that they would never have known had they not explored that this was really vital to people's healing, and it created a new avenue of connection between people in the community. And when you talk around a vulnerable issue, like, you create stronger ties. Mm-hmm. So it did, it did a lot. It did a lot of things. And I think I always say that, the scary stuff is often the juiciest stuff. It's where you got the most opportunity.
I totally agree. I mean, and that's a fantastic example, I think, because it just encapsulates so much of the power of being more pirate is that, it's really, really powerful.
And it starts with asking an uncomfortable question. I just want to emphasise that.
Yeah, and I suppose maybe in the context of the daily the daily work of a healthcare professional, that's probably one of the most uncomfortable questions that they could get asked by somebody, which is, I'm glad you've fixed me, or I'm glad I'm getting better, but, you know, how do I go about this? And yeah, I mean, that, you know, the changes to the environment and the connections, like you said, that all works, because I suppose the norm would be, you know, like, yeah, let's have a meeting, but have it in a health setting, health kind of environment, and that can sometimes, I think, both sides, I'd imagine.
In respect of small bold actions and disrupting yourself and becoming more private, don't underestimate the power of these small changes where you get out of a different setting. Like, it really is all about shifting your mindset and perspective. So there are so many small ways you can do that. And I think at the beginning of the book, I mentioned one of the first meetups that we had, or the second one we had. And somebody came up to me and that said, you know, I've just had a 30-minute conversation with a train driver, and now I actually understand why the trains are late all the time. And that's a silly example, but it's, you know, going off the edges, getting the perspective of someone you'd never speak to. We don't do that very often, or at least in my experience, I wasn't doing it, and most people I know were not. And then again, that contributes to the institutionalized thinking we kind of talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, really. I think it is really important to kind of engage with people that you wouldn't normally engage with, but engage about kind of what's important to them. Because I think there is a bit like you know that change industry that you're kind of describing. It's like they know what they want to get. So when they engage with people, it's about getting the objective that they've been set, rather than necessarily saying, well, what do you think needs to be changed? How would you like to change this? You know, where do you want to focus? And that is maybe where the kind of taboo subjects or the things that make us more vulnerable come out, because that's often what needs to be changed within a system. It's not it's not that big shiny stuff that maybe gets headlines and gets political kudos, but it's actually those little things in the fringes that make the experience of kind of receiving and giving healthcare completely different and much more rewarding. Well, listen, thanks, Alex. That's been hugely interesting, and I hope that people listening to this conversation are now more intrigued at the very least to go and learn a wee bit more about Be More Pirate. So I know that you have lots of things that you can plug. There's books, Twitter, podcasts, and meetups. Is there anything you want to kind of direct folks, signpost people to?
Thank you, and it was lovely talking to you. I could talk for hours, and I'd also just like to say before I go that Sam and I really feel you know, it's our privilege to have any contribution to people who work in healthcare. It's really tough, and anything that we can do that helps people is just, yeah, like I said, a privilege. Anyway, so if you'd like to know more about Be More Pirate, please, you know, you can visit the website. That's probably the main port of call. There is a community page which says join our movement. There's a map of people which you can add yourself to. I do host meetups. I haven't done one in a while. It's sort of on the agenda, but like, I've just had a spiral of other things I've got to, had to. That's the nature of the unofficial, you know, slightly chaotic nature of a movement. There's a link to our meetup page on there. There you can listen to the podcast that we have, which where we interview other rule breakers. Because I think that just, again, gives you continual inspiration that there are people out there who have changed the status quo. And if you direct more of your focus in that direction, your mindset will change over time, because you're focusing not on the day to day, like everything's kind of the same, but showing all these examples. And if you want to do anything further, like run a workshop, we also run workshops more officially to support teams to create these kind of changes, to rewrite their rules and take some bold steps in a more pirate direction.
Fantastic. And I'm involved in all of that, involved in all of that, taking up all those opportunities, and I definitely advocate that, that others do. So, yeah. Alex, thanks once again. Cheers.
All right, thank you.
Thank you to Alex for giving up her time to have a conversation with me today. You know, so interesting, so intriguing, this idea of, you know, be more pirate. And as Alex said, it's a spectrum. It's not necessarily be a pirate, but it's, you know, be more pirate. You know, what can you kind of change, start small, as something I think within quality improvement in healthcare, we're all used to kind of starting small and small changes and getting, working with the willing and getting that kind of, you know, that crew or those allies together. So I think there's a lot of things, as I said in the conversation, that when you start to maybe push aside the pirate analogy, that you actually find that there's a lot of kind of stuff, meaty stuff here that we can work with, even within some organisations, public sector organisations like local authorities or the NHS. Again, just to reiterate the links for Twitter and their website and their fantastic podcast, and also the books, you'll find that in the show notes. Definitely go and give them a follow on Twitter, look up their website, and absolutely I would say if Alex does run any more meetups in 2022, and if she does that virtually, which allows us all over the country to attend, absolutely you should definitely make time to do it. They're so interesting, they make connections between different sectors and with different people, and I've certainly got a lot of the two or three that I've taken part in. So all that's left for me to say is thank you once again for listening to us. Please follow us on Twitter at @theQI_guy. Go back and listen to previous episodes, and why don't you tell a friend? Perhaps you find this useful, helpful, a nice way to pass 30 or 40 minutes, and spread the word. And until next time, take care.